Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Well, good morning, Mosaic. Woo! Wow, you guys are awake at 9:30. Oh my gosh. All right, so I'm glad you're here because I'm feeling good now. If you're feeling good, I'm feeling good. So welcome. Thank you for choosing to spend your morning with us. And hey, I got to say hello to live stream. So thankful that you are tuning in this morning to watch. Hey, but you know, if you're in our geographical area, I do want to say we miss you. Don't we miss them, guys, right? That's right. We miss you, but no matter where you're tuning in from, we're glad you're there. So thanks for being tuned in. And Metro, we just want you to know, right? We want you to know that we see you, all right? We see you. And here's what we're believing for you today, Metro. We're believing that you're going to spend the entire service in the auditorium. No fire alarms, no crazy stuff, right? Some of you don't know what happened at Metro last week. Last week at Metro, about halfway through the worship set, the fire alarm goes off, and the firemen come, the fire trucks come with the sirens just wide open. They make them leave the building down there and go outside. They go outside. I think Asher Fossil got to stand and play his guitar, and they went through the rest of worship, went back in, didn't miss a lick, okay? Didn't miss a thing. And we're so proud of you guys down there, right? Yeah. So glad you're with us, Metro. And I'm Mike. I'm one of the pastors here. If I don't know you, I'd love to meet you. But I'm one of the pastors here. Pastor Naeem, this weekend, is away. He's out in Memphis, Tennessee. I don't know if you remember, but we helped plant a church out there, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years ago, called South Point. And he's there this morning speaking to them. And so you got me. So we'll see how that goes in just a minute, right? So what we're doing this morning is we're continuing the series called The Way of the Warrior. But here's what I'm feeling. I don't know if it's just me or if it's everybody, but here's what I'm feeling a little bit. I'm feeling like we're maybe a little disconnected from the book and from the theme and from all of it being together. And some of you are brand new, so how could you be connected? But we've been on vacation. I've been on vacation. We maybe missed something for the fourth. So what I want to do this morning is kind of recalibrate us, if we will, kind of pull us back together and remind us of what we are trying to get at as we talk about the way of the warrior. Now, to do that, what I want to do is start with a little audience participation, all right? So you guys have already proven to me when I walked out that you're alive this morning. So I'm expecting big things from this. But really quick, when we think about the book, The Way of the Warrior, when we think about warriors, I think about heroes. So really quick, give me your heroes, okay? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Yeah, come on, quick, 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 quick. Okay, Metro, how about you guys? Yes, Robin Hood. Did you hear them? They said Robin Hood down there. Yes, Robin Hood is the one that I think about. Now, I know Robin Hood's fictional character, okay? But, I mean, seriously, so is Iron Man. I mean, so is Iron Man, but Robin Hood, I really like Robin Hood, and I love watching the movies that have been on TV. Now, I've seen 3 movies. Some of you have only seen like 2 maybe, but I've seen 3. And so I want to kind of run back through them really quick. The latest one had Taron Egerton in it. I think I got a picture of him there. Yeah, you like this guy? Taron, he was in the most latest Robin Hood. And the thing I just love about these Robin Hoods, as we get more and more further in the time, they become more and more powerful. This guy can shoot arrows like a machine gun. But if you haven't watched that, it's a great one. Now, the one before that, you'll recognize the guy, probably from Gladiator, but Russell Crowe did the Robin Hood before Taron did Robin Hood. And it was a great movie, too. You'd enjoy that one. But before that one, there was a span of time. Back in 1991, do you remember who did that Robin Hood? Yeah. Kevin Costner, right? Yeah. But some of you didn't see that movie. Some of you are watching this movie because you were babies. Because in 1991, some of you were just little bitty kids, all right? But I got to watch in 1991 Kevin Costner, probably the epic Robin Hood. So if you haven't seen that one, you definitely want to watch it. But Robin Hood, the reason that I love Robin Hood is because of what he stands for. You know, I don't know if you think that deeply into your heroes, but in my hero, I love what he stands for. He takes from the poor. He takes from the rich. Yeah. Great guy. He takes from the rich and he gives to the poor. And the people love him for it, okay? That's from one of the lines in one of the movies. You have to watch them all to figure out which one it was. And they love him for it because, and what I love about that is this hero stands for justice, right? He stands for justice, and I want my hero to stand for justice because that's what I feel on the inside so much of the time. But before we go any further with that, I do want to say this. Now, some of you, when we start talking about war and fighting, and we lay that alongside of Scripture and God, some of you really get a little uneasy, right? Some of you open up the Bible in the Old Testament, and you read some of what happened there, and something just feels unsettling. And this whole idea of God as a warrior king sending his people off to battle, some of you just really struggle with that. And here's what I want to say to you. That's okay. You should do that. You should be a little bit uneasy with that because here's the deal. War is in the Bible because humanity is in the Bible. War is in the Bible not because God put it there, but because humanity. War is violence, and humanity chose violence. It's humanity's story. It's not God's story. God created love. He created peace. And then man came along and he said, you know, the only way I can get what I want is through war. And so that's the way of the world. But you shouldn't be so, there's a tension here. You shouldn't be so distraught when you see that in Scripture because the Israelites, God's chosen people in the Old Testament, they were surrounded by it. It was the way of the world in that time. And so we see that's just the way it was. But God created humanity, and so God can't be removed from his creation. And so God kind of gets lumped in there. But violence and war is not God's story. It's our story. And so I want to show you that. I want to show you what I mean by that. In Joshua, a lot of you remember Joshua as being one of the great warriors in the Old Testament. And there's this story, this battle that Joshua was a part of. There's a song about it. Joshua fought the battle of what? Jericho. That's right. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. But before Joshua marched around that city like seven times and the walls fell down and the army went in, something else happened. And I want you to look at that with me. It'll be on the screens in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. It says this, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand." Now at this point, there's a little question. Was this a dream? Was this real? Was this a dream? Was this real? We really don't know, but the thing that happens next is what throws it into question, because here's what he did. Joshua went up to him and he asked, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" Now, when somebody draws a sword, you don't normally walk up and say, "Hey, are you for us or are you for our enemies?" But that's what he did. And What I want you to take notice of is what we learned this guy is the commander of the army of the Lord. I want you to notice what he said. Are you for us, Joshua says, or are you for our enemies? And what did he say? Neither. Neither. I'm not for war. I am the commander of the Lord's armies. In other words, this was an angel. He said, and God's story isn't violence. And he goes on, and here's what it says. He said, neither, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does the Lord have for his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. And Joshua did so. And so what's happening here is a representation of God is coming to Joshua and saying to Joshua, hey, I know what you're getting ready to do. This is not my story. This is your story. But this is the way, I know this is the way humanity is. But I just want you to know that you're getting ready to destroy some things that I created. You're getting ready to destroy some things I created, and I just want you to remember that. Everywhere you put your feet is holy ground because I created it. So when you go and do what you're going to go and do, I just want you to remember, it's your way, it's not really my way, but I'm going to be with you because you're my people and I'm your God. All right, so you can be okay with the fact that there's a tension in the Old Testament, in the Scriptures. You look at Exodus, another place where we see God is very active. And you look at what happens there. God goes to Moses and he says, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh. I want you to be my voice. I want you to say to Pharaoh, let my people go. And so there's this little back and forth with Pharaoh and Moses. And Moses says, I don't want to. God says, I really want you to. Moses says, I don't think I can speak. God says, you can speak. Moses says, I really don't want to. God says, you're getting on my nerves now. And he says, I want you to go. And so Moses finally goes after all the back and forth. And he says to Pharaoh, let my people go. And he says, if you don't, this is what's going to happen to you. This plague and this plague and this plague. And what we see every time is Pharaoh exerting his power over God's, and the plagues are simply consequences to his actions. It's just like our lives. There are consequences to every action that we have. And so what you see is God not necessarily exerting his power, but he's giving Pharaoh a choice here. But we resonate, even though we might struggle with this, we resonate with these stories, don't we? Because what was happening with the Israelites in Egypt was they were enslaved to the Egyptians. And we believe, I hope we believe, nobody deserves to be enslaved to another person. That's just not right. We want justice when we see that. And that's the natural way to feel. You know, it's okay that you feel that way, and we'll talk a little bit more and get to that in just a second, but it is okay you feel that way. When somebody is rude or greedy or bitter or a power monger over others, what do we want? We want justice, right? That's what I wanted, all right? So a couple weeks ago, my whole family, we went on a cruise together, my extended family. We got on this cruise. It was my sister. It was here for a year, and her family, her husband and her family, they're missionaries in Belgium. They actually went back yesterday to Belgium. Great place to be a missionary, probably, right? In Belgium. But it was kind of our last hurrah before they went back. We went on this cruise. It was great. Key West, Bahamas. But every day, you know, they bring in this brochure and they lay it on your bed. It's the daily activities. It's the things that you can do. And on this little chart, on this little booklet, there's this list of things that you can do and you can't do. But there's also some things that says something like this. Do not reserve lounge chairs with personal items around the pool deck. All right, it's right there, black and white. It's great. You can see it. And then if you go out to the pool deck, there are lounge chairs everywhere, and there's a little sign that says, do not reserve lounge chairs on the pool deck. If you do, your stuff will be over there somewhere. I don't know where. Over there somewhere, and you can pick it up there. We walked out on the cruise ship, looked across all the chairs. What's on all of the lounge chairs? Personal items. Right, personal items. I look at the sign, and I look at the guys over there handing out towels, which is mostly what's on the chairs, and I'm like, okay, who's supposed to do the job that's on the sign? I'll volunteer. I would love to go around and take some personal items off some lounge chairs, because Jennifer and I, we were looking for a lounge chair to sit in, two together, okay? Personal items everywhere. We finally found two. We sat down, and I don't even know why we even tried, because if you look to the north, if you look to the east, if you look to the west, on all sides, there were dark rain clouds, dark storm clouds. If you look to the south, there's not only dark storm clouds, but there is rain. And we've been watching this rain catch up with us all morning long. I really just wanted to find the bridge, never could, and just step on the gas pedal, because I think we could have outrun it, but I couldn't find it. So anyway, we sit there, the wind's starting to kick up. This guy comes out, and he checks his four lounge chairs with his two towels that he's got draped across them. The wind's picking up. He starts to shove those towels into the lounge chairs. And I'm looking at him thinking, I would just really like to grab those towels and maybe him too. All right. And just throw, not really him. I don't want to go there. But take those towels. He walked away. And I'm like, gosh, I would just like to get those towels, throw them over into the ocean. At the end of a trip, he gets this big bill because he did exactly what they said not to do, and he can't find his towels, and now he's got to pay for these towels. That is justice, right? That would have been good. But then it started raining. Jennifer and I packed up our stuff. We headed into a lounge, and that was when I picked up this book that we are reading called The Way of the Warrior, and four pages in, no less than four pages in, here's what I read. God understands the war that rages within and around us, and he longs to lead us to the end of violence. We are people of war, because we are a people at war. All the violence we see in the world is but a small glimpse of the violence that churns in us. This war that rages within us eventually boils over and sets the world on fire. And so the essence of what Irwin is saying in his book called The Way of the Warrior is he's saying that we want to control what's on the outside. And the only way to control what's on the outside is through controlling what's on the inside. And what we need on the inside is peace, inner peace. And the only way that we'll be able to positively impact the world, positively impact humanity the way that God created it, is when we can get control of our hearts and our minds and our souls and start thinking a little differently about what it means to be a warrior. Because until we do that, we'll never be able to affect change in this world that will enable us as followers of Jesus to win the battle. We'll never be able to reclaim the message and movement of Jesus until we're able to do this, because violence was not a part of his message, and it was not a part of his movement. But God help me, it's hard, right? It's so hard. July 3rd, we're back from the cruise. July 3rd, we go down to South Park, Jennifer and I. Got tickets to the symphony. We're going to watch the symphony, the orchestra, and watch the fireworks. And we were going down But the gates opened at 5. We didn't want to be there at 5. We wanted to get there a little later because we wanted to work out. We wanted to grab a bite to eat. We didn't really care about the stuff that was going on before that. We finally arrived there about 7:45. And we walked in. We got our towel. Of course, you're supposed to sit on the ground. We got our towel, and we walk in, and people are everywhere. I mean, down front, the orchestra is there, but down front on the grassy area, you've got this this lawn that is filled with people. Behind me, you've got this tent where people can sit. It's a VIP section, but I didn't buy those tickets because I'm cheap, and you can verify that with my wife. But we're looking, there are people, like the orchestra's here, there are people on the sides of the hill behind the lake over there, just sitting on the sides of the hill because that's as close as they felt like they could get. They couldn't even see the orchestra. I'm hoping that there were speakers back there, but we were just two. We were just two. We only needed a small area, had a towel, and so I walked down front, walked across the front, and I see a spot, and I say, I think we can fit there next to that little red wagon. She said, I think we can. And so we walked up there. We took our towel. We didn't even open it all the way. We just opened it enough that we could have enough space to sit down. And we sat down on the towel, and things were great. I mean, we had really good seats right in front. We could see well. And I thought, this is good. And then I kind of looked around, and right in front of me, there was this tarp, okay? It was like an 8x12 tarp, all right? And on the four corners, there were four chairs holding it down. Somebody had probably come at like 5:05, reserved their spot. I thought to myself, holy cow, 8x12, there's gonna be a party in front of us in just a few minutes, right? I mean, 12, 15, 16 people, something like that. Two minutes before it started. Not 12, not 15, not 16, four. Four people, mom, dad, son, daughter. Son and daughter weren't even teenagers yet. They were small. Four people on 96 square feet of space. People sitting in the back, people standing in the back. We're over here on our little 3x5, 15 square foot towel, and who needs 96 square feet? You can live in 96 square feet. I was starting to get a little angry, and I just like, oh my gosh. And then I remembered page six in Irwin's book. He said this. He said, inner peace does not come by accident, nor by desire. Inner peace is a journey towards self-mastery. The way of the warrior is a discipline of the soul. But gosh, when things like that happen, it makes me so mad. And I heard God say in that moment, breathe. Just breathe. Just listen to the music. But they were playing the fight song for the four branches of service, okay? They were playing fight. And then they stopped and they started playing some Broadway tunes. And I started to calm down. I started to get a hold of myself. And you know, music does that. Music can sometimes give us strength because it doesn't affect us on the outside. I mean, sometimes it does. Sometimes you start dancing on the outside, but it does something on the inside of us, and it gives us some strength, which is exactly what I want to talk to you about today. But music, it can create in us excitement. It can create in us optimism. It can also create in us fear and anxiety. But music changes things on the inside. And what I want to focus on today is my part of the series, which is the warrior harnesses his strength. All right? The warrior harnesses her strength. That's what they do. And they do that to overcome those times when anger and rage and bitterness and maybe even the feeling of defeat that we sometimes feel on the inside. But Jesus had something to say about this. And it may not be the passage of Scripture you would think we would go to, but it's a passage of Scripture that I believe is where we need to go. Because here's the deal. The disciples, Jesus, all these people were together, and on one particular day, they said, okay, Jesus, all right, you've taught us a lot of things. You've taught us how to cast out demons. You've taught us how to heal the sick. You've taught us how to proclaim the kingdom of God. But the most important thing, what is it? And you know what he said, right? It's in Mark. Mark wrote it down, one of the gospel writers. Mark chapter 12, verses 30, 31. He says, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what he said. All your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he said, hey, just so you know, there's something right next to it. Avenge your neighbor. No. Love your neighbor as yourself. And who is my neighbor? That's the question that comes out. Who is my neighbor? And you learn that your neighbor is the person who is close to you. It's the person sitting on that tarp right there, right? It's that person. And so where do we get the energy and the strength that we need to overcome this battle and love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? It's more than just anger too. You know, I've focused this morning on this idea of anger coming up in us. But there are other things too. And Paul makes a list of these things. In Galatians, there's a list. In Ephesians, there's a list. In 1 Corinthians, there's a list. And I want to read you the list in Colossians because it's a little shorter. But there are all kinds of things that we have to deal with on the inside. Colossians chapter 3, he says this. He says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. And so what you need to recognize here is if there are some of you here this morning, there may be some of you that are not believers. You're not followers of Jesus. There may be some of you at Metro that are not followers of Jesus. This is not for you. You're good. You don't have to worry about this. But if you're one of those people that say, I'm a follower of Jesus, then this is for you. He says, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these. Are you ready? Anger. Anger's top of the list. It belongs there. Number two, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. You see, we switch back to Jesus, and you think about, he said love. Well, none of these things replicate love, right? And so I happen to think that in this passage where Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, I think that he's saying a little more than just, I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I think what he's saying is, I want you to love the Lord. What it takes to love the Lord is all the strength of your soul and all the strength of your mind and all the strength of your heart and all the strength of your physical body. And in order to stand against the enemy that you need to do war with, you have to create inside of you strength so that you can create outside of you an environment where God, an expression of God's love, is visible. Now, the warrior knows, this is what we have to learn this morning. The warrior knows that he or she has to gather up their strength. It's like having a bow and not having any arrows. It's like having a bow and no arrows. The warrior has this built-in capacity. There's a part inside of us that God has already given us, and we're gonna call it a bow this morning. And it's already ours for the using. But he wants us to do our part. And that's where we have to metaphorically kind of collect our arrows. Now, once we've collected those arrows, then we have to do something else. We have to focus our power in the right direction. I wasn't focusing my power in the right direction. But we have to focus the power in the right direction. And once we focus, we release those arrows in the right direction, we have to go and we have to re-energize ourselves. We deplete ourselves when we shoot those arrows. We either have to go get them or make more or whatever. But those are the things that we have to do. We have to gather our arrows. We have to gather our strength. We have to focus that strength. And then when we expend that strength, we have to go and we have to get it back. So how and what do we need to do to win this battle that rages on the inside of each one of us? I want to start with the one that I think is most important. And I think it's our soul. We need our soul to be full because our soul is the spiritual core of who we are. All right, so what is it? What is it that feeds your soul? What is it that ignites your passion for God? Well, here it is. And you're going to think this maybe sounds a little primitive, but I'm telling you, this is it. Prayer. Prayer is the fuel that ignites the passion within you for God. Undoubtedly, it's prayer. Now, you can do a lot of things in your prayer life. You can add music to it. You can add a private prayer language to it. You can add scripture to it. Or you can just keep it simple and pray. And the reason I know that this is the thing that fills our soul is because it's what Jesus did. In scripture, it says, he went up on the mountainside alone to pray. It says, he said to his disciples, I want you guys to sit here. I'm going over here to pray. Another place it says he spent the night praying to God. Now, I will say that's probably not the greatest idea, all right? You can try that if you want to, but here's a little hint. If you decide to pray all night, do it standing up, and you'll figure that out whenever you try it, all right? Do it standing up. But prayer is that thing. Jesus and his disciples, they did a lot of things. He taught them a lot of things. But the one thing that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Because they watched him go away and they watched his soul be filled up and power come from that. Literally, prayer can ignite your passion for God like nothing else. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. I want to encourage you. You see, some of you say, well, hey, I pray. I pray in my car when I'm driving to work, or I pray at times when I'm doing this. That's good. But I don't think it's great. All right? I don't think it's great. I think what's great is when we pull away and when we focus on God through prayer. I want to tell you what I do, and maybe this will work for you. But I pray when my mind is clear. And there's only one time that my mind is pretty clear, and that's when I wake up in the mornings. After about 20 minutes, my mind is full, and my feet hit the floor, and I have an agenda, and prayer is not going to happen. And so what I try to practice is in the morning when I wake up, I just lay there and I pray. And my alarm goes off. I put my hands behind my head, not to put my antennas up. Those are not antennas. Okay. But I put my arms behind my head because I know I'm not going to go back to sleep if they're there. So maybe you can practice that. Maybe between the last time you hit snooze, for those of you who hit it 5 or 6 times, maybe before the last time you hit snooze, you just kind of get in that position and take that last 8 or 9 minutes and pray. Or just take 2 minutes. I don't know. Take whatever you have. But that's a great time to actually pray. And something that's kind of a little bit comical is I'll pray, and the next thing that I normally do is I take a shower. And I don't know what it is, but when I'm in the shower, I think it's because my mind's in the right place. I just start hearing God, and maybe because I've shut up and given him a little bit of a space to talk. But I don't know whether it has anything to do with being naked Hey, you should probably censor that. Take that off. But that's where he speaks to me in the shower so loudly. But I want to encourage you. Pray. Find a time to pray. That's so powerful. The second thing is we need our heart to be healthy. Our heart is the furnace of our emotions. It's out of our heart where hate and anger and rage originate, okay? It's out of your heart. Normally you think about love originating out of the heart, and it originates there too, but all of those negative things originate that as well. So how do you keep your emotional self filled with love? It's not the Hallmark Channel, people. My wife thinks it's the Hallmark Channel, okay? But it's not the Hallmark Channel. A good love story will do you, will warm your heart. A UFC fight will not warm your heart, okay? That doesn't instill heart in love inside of you. But here's what you're going after. What is it that will keep your heart healthy and allow you to replace anger with joy? What will allow you to replace hate with love? And what will allow you to replace violence with making someone else's world a better place by serving them? I want to tell you, the answer is it happens with people. Doesn't matter if you're an extrovert or an introvert, it happens in the context of people. If you're an introvert, it's just a little less time with people. But it happens with people. And that's why we encourage you. If you're on live stream this morning, that's why I said, hey, we miss you. We miss you here because just your presence in being here is an opportunity for us to do life together. And it fills up our heart to be able to serve you. When we go out and we're always asking people to jump in and serve in one of our volunteer teams, when you serve people, it causes something inside of you. It fills your heart to see the way that they respond and the gratefulness that happens. And so that is one of the keys. Your heart needs to be healthy. Number three, your mind needs to be charged. All right? Our mental health keeps us focused. We need our minds. We need the voice inside of us, our voice. There are two voices. You got your voice and you've got God's voice. And God's voice is always cheering you on. But we need our voice to be cheering us on, saying, you can do this, you've got this. We need our voice to connect with God's voice and to remind us that we've got this. I love what Irwin said. He said, you are created to live a life of passion and compassion. When you live a life of passion, it moves you to action. When you live a life of compassion, it moves you beyond yourself into a life of service. Negativity or negative emotions turn all your energy inward and you become an emotional black hole. But when you live a life of passion, you harness your energy to be fully engaged in the creative process called life. Now, I was exerting some passion on the boat and at the symphony, but it was negative passion. That's not what we're talking about. What he's saying and what we can take from this is that when we have the right kind of passion, when we're passionate about what we do or what we're doing, it creates compassion. So you can analyze, am I thinking right about this? Is this passion creating compassion? Mine was not. Mine was not. And we can do this. We can only do this if we are connected to God and we know who we are. That's why this setting is so important, because in this setting, we're able to worship. We're able to listen for what God wants to say to us. We're able to set our mind on things above. And there are so many settings that you can invest in your mental health. ICU Talks. Kim leads a ministry that meets here at Mosaic. ICU Talks is a great place. Pastor Naeem has a podcast I don't know if you've run into it yet, but it's great. There are so many people that would love to invest in your life that are online, that are at your fingertips, that you can grab a hold of. But you have to make the investment to get your minds charged. And the last one, it's not the least one, it is the last one I want to speak about. It is strength. Your strength, your bodily strength, has to be refreshed and renewed. We have to be on a journey of physical health. We have to be, not for our physical appearance. Not for your physical appearance will look a little different if you are on a journey of health, but for your essence, the essence of who you are. You need to have sleep. You need to have physical activity that elevates your heart rate and for a period of time. And you need to eat regularly and at least semi-healthy, at least, because all of these other areas, your heart, your soul, your mind, your body is the vehicle for all of these areas. And when you neglect your physical body, part of your heart and your soul and your mind suffer too. The warrior has to have all four of these parts working together. And you remember, when you deplete these parts, it's not a one-time thing. It's not like, hey, I got it, Mike. I got it. And you're good. It's something that you have to do. I think daily, if not every other day or something like that. You have to have a rhythm of this to become the warrior that God has created you to be. The way of the warrior talks about the kind of warrior that you're created to be. Not the warrior like Robin Hood. Not the warrior like we find in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is super beneficial to us. Don't dismiss the Old Testament. There's wisdom, there's leadership lessons, there's understanding there. But God closed the period called BC, which is where the Old Testament was in, and he recalibrated the way he wanted us to think. He wanted us to think in his way, and we call that time period now AD, after death. After the death of Jesus, who was a true warrior, who promoted what? Peace. Not violence. Not violence. God sent a peacemaker to be our Redeemer because he knows that the key to bringing peace on earth starts inside of each one of us. We are not at war with humanity. We are at war with our adversary. And the war that we stand in and the war that we take on is not the same war that Joshua or Solomon or David or Samson took on. It was the war that Paul and Timothy and even James, Jesus's brother, and Jesus himself took on. It's the battle of peace within. Now, some of you this morning, after hearing this, you're energized. Because some of you take care of your physical body. Some of you have great prayer lives. And so some of you are ready to go. But some of you are thinking, I don't know what kind of warrior I am. Well, here's the way I want to kind of wrap this up. I want to wrap it up with some of the words that Irwin used at the end of this chapter. He says this. He said, the warrior knows they were created by God, who is spirit. And we can also know that as long as we are connected to God and we are loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we're going to win. All right? So put that in your tool belt. You are going to win. Irwin says, though we appear as flesh and blood, every cell in our body is energy. All of our energy comes from God. What we do with that energy is up to us. The ultimate expression of energy is light. We are called to be light in this world. We are called to be the tangible presence of God in this world. We, as Mosaic, have said we are called to do what? To reclaim the message and movement of Jesus. And that starts by having an inner peace inside of us. We have to recognize that whatever is on the inside of us will overflow and create the world that's around us. That's our challenge. July 4th, quick story, last story. July 4th, we were going to watch the fireworks. Some of you know I have a boat. We were going on the water to watch the boat. My daughter was at a friend's house. We went to her friend's house to pick her and her friends up, went and watched the fireworks. We watched the fireworks, came back. We got 20 yards from the dock at her friend's house. The boat just dies. I tried everything. It's dead. I pull out a ski. I paddle the last 20 yards with a ski. It wasn't a good evening, but we got there. I left the boat there. We went home. We slept. The next morning, I called a friend. I said, hey, can you check out the boat? He checked out the boat. He said it was just a fuse. He said, I put one in. I left you an extra one. You're good to go. I went and got the boat, got in the boat, started up, took off 100 yards. Dead. It died again. He left me an extra fuse. Great guy. Plugged in the fuse. Immediately, it blew that fuse. I'm 100 yards, probably a little further. I'm not paddling back this time. I get on the phone, I call my wife. Hey, I need you to get some fuses. She's not at home, but she's getting there. I call my son. He went and stayed with a friend. Hey, I need you to come home, get the jet ski, come bring me the fuses, come pull me in if we have to. He comes out. Now, I've been sitting out there now at this point for about an hour and 15 minutes, and I'm at this place where boats are going back and forth. And so all this time, I'm doing this. I'm trying to look at my phone, and I'm doing this, and I still feel okay. It's hot. And I'm rocking the whole time. Andrew gets there. We interact for a few minutes, and then he says to me this one thing. He said, Dad, you're not nearly in as bad of a mood as I expected you to be. I'm trying to practice what I'm reading. If I can do it, you can do it. Let's stand and let me pray for you. Father, thank you for putting inside of us what we need to overcome and to win this battle that rages within us. God, I pray this morning that you would speak to the hearts of the people here, that they would know the battle that most often rages inside of them, and that you would come and you would help them to gather the strength that they need in their heart and their soul and their mind and in their physical body to overcome this enemy that they're at war with. God, that you would help us to be light in this world, that people see an expression of you and the love that you have for us. God, thank you for that. If there's someone here today, God, it's never invited you into their heart, God, we pray for that too. We pray that you would just make yourself so real to them, that you would call out to them, that you would say, you're my child. I love you and I'm proud of you. And that they would just accept that and walk in your ways this morning. God, thank you. Thank you for being our Savior and our Redeemer. And thank you for loving us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.